Matthew chapter number 6. If you look at verse number 28, let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Matter of fact, let's back up to verse number 25. I'm going to preach on this subject tonight, or teach on this subject, growing your faith, growing your faith. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Now, what's the next phrase there? O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith. So he's dealing with a subject here, but he's also honestly dealing with faith. And wanting to make an adjustment, help them to grow in their faith. Let's continue to read verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat? We eat, or what shall we drink? Or whether wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to read much tonight. Three different places where we read the very words of Jesus Christ as he has to stop and try to do something to fix the lack of faith in his disciples. And so, Lord, they had little faith, but Lord, you, of course, dear God, were trying to grow their faith because Jesus wasn't going to have them long. And boy, there's a whole world to reach. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to grow our faith as we listen to Christ and his words tonight. Lord, open our hearts, dear God. Make us tender to the things of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The subject of little faith. What a statement. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. There's three times that we're going to look at tonight in the book of Matthew where Jesus has to deal with the subject of little faith. He has to rebuke because of a lack of faith. Now, before we get into those things, look right up here and let me help you with just general principle here. You know, sometimes as we read the Gospels, I think in our mind, we're kind of hard on the disciples. Now, let me just tell you why. Now, Jesus was hard on them, but I think sometimes we forget where they were and how long they had been believers. And we also forget this. They were being discipled. Now, I can tell you this. By the time Jesus took off to heaven, you know what? There wasn't a one of them that had been saved over 3 years. Now, stop and think about that a minute. Some of these stories are at the very beginning of their discipling process. And so sometimes we see, you know, Peter, we see John, we see James, we see them making very, what we might call immature mistakes in their Christian life. And we can say, well, good night. These are disciples. Yes, exactly. They're not apostles yet. They are disciples. They've been recruited. They're believers. They're saved. But you know what? We got to remember that, you know what? They were just one, two, sometimes at the most 2.5, 3 years into their Christian life. And you know what Jesus was doing? Watch this. He was discipling them. He rebukes them for having little faith, but you know what? They were new converts. Now, he wanted to fix that and grow them, but I think that one of the things that we can glean from this as far as how does this help us today is this. Hey, folks, we got to be patient with people. Okay, aren't you glad God was patient with you? And you got to understand that, folks, you know what? Sometimes there's we kind of forget where people are. Parents, let me say something to you. Be patient with your children. Come on, kids, you ought to be saying amen right here. Be patient. Well, I guess they're all out in Master's Club. If they were here, they'd say amen, preacher. Be patient with your kids. And understand it's a process, you know. So-and-so did so-and-so. Yeah, and they're 7. And every once in a while, a kid will do something, and the parents will look over at me like, oh, no, did the preacher see that? Yeah, I know, he's 4. Okay, I don't have a heart attack. I'm not saying it shouldn't be corrected. I'm not saying it's a learning opportunity. I'm not saying that it might be an opportunity to take them to the bathroom and apply Bible principles. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that, you know what? It takes time with people. And teenagers, you know what? They're being discipled, folks. And it's, you know what? We can go through the entire Gospels and stop several times and point at grown men and say, good night. Well, you know what? If a teenager stumbles or falls or says something they shouldn't or goes a little backwards, you know what, folks? Stop having a heart attack or stop applying the last rites to them and declaring the entire youth group's just a bunch of heath. You know, that doesn't help. Nothing that helps like that. And you know what? It's a process. Hey, how about me and you? Come on, folks. I don't care how long you've been saved. We still sometimes exhibit small faith. Sometimes our faith's not as strong as it ought to be. It's not as big as it ought to be. It's not as great as it ought to be. And what I'm saying is this, as we read these stories, I'm going to go to three places where Jesus has to stop and look at somebody and say, hey, oh, ye of little faith, but remember, they hadn't been saved all that long. They were learning. They were being prepared. And you know what? All of our ministries here that are not outreach evangelistic ministries, all other ministries fall under the umbrella of discipleship. And we're working with a lot of people. And I just pray, dear, I mean this, if I could get our church to do anything, would you just exhibit some grace? Would you just get off the seat of judgment? Would you just stop trying to look at everybody else's kids and see what you can nitpick about so you can feel better about your kids being superior? Could you just grow up a little bit? Could you just love people? Could you just give folks a chance? And so that's what's happening here is Jesus is dealing. I'm not saying we ignore things. We deal with things. But at the same time, sometimes we, when we read the Gospels, forget that Jesus was dealing with a group of men that he had just brought to himself not all that long ago. And so you know what? They were going through a learning process here. Now, Jesus is giving them a little talk here. Now, there will be times in their future that they will exhibit great faith. But you know what? Right now, they're learning. And you know what, folks? There's times in our life where we exhibit great faith, but there's also times when our faith is found lacking. There's times, too, come on, help me out on this. There's times sometimes in your Christian life where you come close to losing your faith. I mean, depending on what you're going through. Watch this. All of us are growing. Our faith needs to be tested. Okay, God's going to do things to test our faith, and sometimes those tests, they're not going to come back with an A+ on them. Sometimes they're going to have an F on them. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. If you learn something, you really didn't fail. And Jesus put them in high-pressure situations or sometimes had to deal with subjects that to change their thinking. Why? So he could condemn them for their little faith? No, so that he could grow that little faith into larger faith. And that's what we see here. And so let's be merciful as we would want others to be merciful to us. All of us are growing. And our faith does need to be tested. God will at times allow circumstances that will reveal to us the maturity of our faith or the lack thereof. Now, three times we're going to visit. There's actually four times in Matthew where Jesus has to deal with the idea or the subject of little faith. We're going to choose three of these. And then for those of you that like studying the Bible, you can dig in and find the fourth one. That's your extra credit, extra assignment, all right? Jesus rebukes four different times. He rebukes the disciples for reacting to a situation with either little or no faith. These stories are given to us for us to learn something, not for us to condemn them, but for us to judge ourselves. And by the way, remember this, we have an advantage over them. They didn't have the Gospels to learn by. We get to read and learn from their mistakes. They were living the times of the Gospels. And the three stories that we're going to look at tonight will help prepare us. And their rebuke, if you think about that, their rebuke can become our reward if we take the time to learn from them. So let's look at these three times, all right, where we can learn from the times that they exhibited little faith on how and when we need to strengthen our faith. You ready to go? The first one is found here in Matthew chapter number 6 in this little discussion, this little time of teaching and training that Jesus says here. Now, let me give you the first point. Preacher, how do you strengthen your faith, okay? How does little faith become strong faith? Where are we sometimes weak in our faith? Let me give you this first point. Strong faith is needed in picking your priorities. Strong faith is needed in picking your priorities. What is this entire portion of scripture about? If you think about it, and you take a step back and read it, it's really about picking priorities. In the life of a Christian with strong faith, watch this. Here's the key verse, verse 33. This, all the other stuff is preparation for the key presentation of the key truth, and here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom. We're talking about picking priorities, which means if something's a priority, then it's first. Okay, if it's less of a priority, it's second. If it's even less of a priority, it's third. So he's trying to fix something. They had misplaced priorities. Their main concern was not seeking the kingdom of God. Their main concern was worry and anxiety about what they either did or didn't have on this earth. So stay with me here. In the life of a Christian with strong faith, serving the Lord always comes first. What's the difference between someone with little faith or strong faith? Someone with little faith, serving God, is down on the priority list somewhere. And the things of the world and the accumulation of things of this earth is higher than seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, personal financial considerations come second in the life of someone with a strong faith, and serving the Lord always comes first. Let me say that again. Personal financial considerations come second, and serving the Lord always comes first. Now, how do you explain this? All right, you're faced with a decision. You're faced with something, a choice that you have to make, and this direction would increase your personal financial situation, but it would lessen your opportunities to impact the kingdom of God. This decision would heighten and strengthen your chances to impact the kingdom of God, but it would lessen or fail to increase your temporal financial opportunities. You know what Jesus is saying? At that point in time, a person with weak faith will be more worried about trying to accumulate more or gain more or have more, and they won't worry about the fact that it is lessening the time and maybe even the ability to serve God and to remit. Listen, folks, there's an invisible creation and a visible creation. There's temporal things and there's eternal things. So stay with me here. Watch this, folks. Every Christian's faith will be tested from time to time. God will place you in circumstances where you will have to choose between mammon and God. And that's what the Bible goes on to say here and warn us about. If you back up into the previous portion of scripture, Matthew 6, verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. We're talking about priorities. If the priority is things of this earth, that's where your heart's going to go. If the priorities is the kingdom of God and those things that are eternal and serving God, that's where your heart's going to go. And wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He goes on to say in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And folks, watch this. Be very careful. Bible principles are there. And I understand this. I could read the Bible. I want to make sure I present this in a balanced manner. We could go to verses that teach us we are to work. Amen. So I'm not putting anybody on a guilt trip that's having to work. Bible principles tell us that we're to provide for our family. Remember, in fact, it says that you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your family. I'm not saying quit your job, forget about temporal things, live in a tent somewhere or a cardboard box and spend your entire life soul winning. And I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this, priorities, priorities, okay? But above all, we are to serve the Lord. And your priorities will be tested. This is a test of the maturity of your faith. One of these days, at some point in time, we've got to stop using the excuse of, preacher, you just don't realize how busy I am. Yeah, preacher, here's another one. You know what? I know that all these things, but you just don't understand our situation. We don't have time. This is what I say a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it, or I'm not going to get off this. I guess, you know what, at my funeral, I'll stop, you know, I'll be dead, you won't have to hear it again, but look right up here, God gave us all 168 hours in a week. When you want to talk about not having time, you've got the same amount of time I do, and I've got the same amount of time anybody else does. You know what is the problem? Prioritizing that time. Prioritizing that time. That's the problem. You know, folks, listen to me. You can fill your life up with a lot of things and not a one of them be sinful. But they take every bit of time that you have where the point where you can't serve the Lord. Look right up here, church. If you can't find 2 hours a week to go visiting or soul winning, then your life's out of balance. Can I say this? You've got little faith. You've got little faith. Because, come on, at 168 hours, I mean, doesn't that leave you 166? If you take 2 hours to go soul winning, and yet you're going to stand before God and say, well, you just don't understand how busy we were. Well, I don't know. Jesus took the time to come down and be born in a stable. Jesus took the time to walk this earth for 33 years. Jesus took the time to allow himself to be nailed to an old rugged cross. You say, preacher, are you trying to put me on a guilt trip? I'm trying to appeal to your common sense. I mean, after a while, come on now. There's got to be a step back from time to time. I say this, you're either living life or life's living you. And at some point, you know what, folks? If you're on a runaway train, come on, moms, dad, everybody. You know, we got to stop and say, yeah, but we got to go to here. And we got to, no, you don't got to do anything except live, breathe, die, and face your God one day. That's what you got. You know what you got to do? You got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, wait a minute. If your life become a runaway train, you know, well, you just don't understand the job. Well, oh, good night. That's right. And that's the only job in the United States of America. You hide behind your job the rest of your life. I would never, look right up here. If I was not a preacher, I would never work a secular job that so took over my life that I didn't have time to serve the Lord. I would never do that. I said, I would never do that. I would never do that. I'd live in a shack first. I'd find a little piece of ground and live off the land first. Now what I'm saying is this, priorities. You know what? Watch this. As people grow in faith and their faith gets stronger, you know what they do? They look, listen, the eternal things and seeking the kingdom of God, that becomes stronger and stronger, more of a priority in their life, and the things of this world diminishes. Now, we read down through here and, you know, he talks about the ravens, he talks about the lilies, and it seems so simplistic to us. But I want you to just take a step back and think about this for a minute. Well, I wish we could just somehow put everybody in this house, in this church. I wish we could turn this church into a time machine sometimes and go back to a simpler time in America, a less complicated time in America, a time when America, and I'm talking about everybody, just without exception, would never think about doing anything on the Lord's day except worshiping the Lord. A simpler time where, you know what? We woke up when God turned the lights out and had enough sense to be home when he turned them off. I'm just, watch this. I'm going to see if I can help you. It does not take that much to exist on this earth. It does not take that much to exist on this earth. Come on now. Come on now. It doesn't take this much to exist on this earth. And, you know, my father-in-law, Lloyd Whittington, I was taking him uptown the other day, and we were just chatting on there, and he said, how many kids was in that family, Cheryl, brothers, sisters, all the kids in that family? You know how many he had total? Uh-huh. Six. He said, Dad raised six children on 20 acres farming. Six children. I said, well, what did he do besides that? Nothing. He farmed. You say, well, that's not possible anymore. I would tell you it is possible. I was telling you, you could take 20 acres of land and just about be 100% self-sufficient. But not if on that 20 acres of land, you've got a house that you're going to be paying on 30 for the next 30 years and 50, you got to pay $1,500 a month on. I mean, you know what we do? We work and we get a promotion and we get a raise and we start seeing some success. So you know what? Instead of having any of God sense whatsoever, we just go get ourselves more in debt so that we can work harder and need more overtime so we can just, I mean, what are we doing with our lives? Okay, are you listening to me? Men, are you listening to me? We've decided we've got to keep up with everybody, and you know what? Good night. Keeping up with everybody but Jesus. And so I'm just hitting a reset button here. You know what? As I grow in my Christian life, less and less do I see the importance of the things of this earth. I know we've got to eat. I know we've got to have clothes on our back. I know I've got to have a roof over my head, but good night. We don't have to have every new thing, new gadget. I mean, have you ever got to a point yet where you're just happy with what you have? I mean, can you only enjoy it for about 2 weeks before you're sitting at the table talking about what else you need to do and what else you need to have and the next project? You know, I mean, come on. And if we, so strong faith, strong, Jesus finally just said, listen, oh, ye of little faith. He said, good night. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies of the field. He said, good night. I take care of them. He said, and yet you've got to decide that you've got to go whole hog into this world. Don't do it. Listen, strengthen your faith. Strengthen your faith. Let's go to the next portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 8, just a couple chapters over. They didn't make it very long, did they? They were in chapter 6, they got rebuked. Chapter 2 chapters, sounds like us, amen? Chapter 8, here it comes again. And we see in verse number 24, watch this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the sea was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Jesus and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are you fearful? Here it is again. O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Boy, I hope you got that underlined or something drawn to it. You need to be reminded of that. There's nothing in the world that Jesus can't handle. Now, number one, strong faith is needed to teach us to properly prioritize or to pick proper priorities. Strong faith is needed during life's many storms. Many storms. Now, watch this. Well, I hope this is encouragement to you. First of all, folks, watch this. The storms will come. They will come. Winds howl, rain lashing, lightning flashing, thunder crashing, storms will come from time to time, rock your world. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Now, what's the difference between little faith? You know what? That's a great time to gauge your faith. Storms of life, yes, you got to deal with the circumstance, you got to deal with the storms, but I hope that it also gives you an opportunity to measure your faith. Now, watch this. I'm talking about times when you're bailing like mad and your ship is still on the verge of sinking. Talk about times when you feel God has fallen asleep and does not care about what is to happen, about to happen to you. You know, that's a great picture right there. Because we feel that way too. They were aggravated because Jesus, what's he doing asleep? You know, sometimes I feel like, God, are you watching this? Are you awake? I need to wake God up so he knows what's going on. These are times when the maturity of your faith will be, watch this, revealed. These are men that were in the will of God. Who told them to get in that ship? Who told them to launch out? By the way, who was with them? Amen. These men were with Christ, and yet their faith was small. Now, I preached just recently on Acts chapter 27. I'm not going to go back and review that, but I love that story. You know, Paul stood up on the deck of a ship that was being destroyed underneath his feet and said this, I believe God, and I serve God. And you know what? Because of that, he knew he was going to get to shore. It's amazing the difference in the reaction. Here we see somebody in a storm here, and you know what they're doing? They're accusing Jesus of not caring. You know, accusing God, and he was God, by the way. You do understand. He's God. Accuse him of being asleep and not caring. Can I say this? That's the reaction. Stay with me. Come on, let's be honest. We're never going to grow in our faith if we don't get honest. That's the reaction of weak faith or little faith. Now, look right up here. I've watched Christians that have been Christians for 20 years, and every time a storm comes in their life, you know what? They begin to hurl accusations at God. It is time for your faith to grow up. I mean, every time you face something, you walk around with this martyr's mentality, and God doesn't care, and see, God doesn't love me, and you know what, if God was there, he blah, 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 and you're hurling accusations. That is not what the storms or life are for, so that you can have a pity party every time you have to face a little bit of a trial or a tribulation or a problem in your life. Okay? Stop that. That's immature faith. Now, I want you to understand something. There's Paul's reaction on a ship that eventually sinks. And yet, he says, I believe God, I'll serve him. He gets onto an island, starts building a fire, gets bit by a snake, is falsely accused. And you know what? He doesn't quit serving God. He goes to the next town. God spares him, and he preaches and preaches. And the only way they could keep him from preaching is cut his head off. That's mature faith. Then you've got these newbies. And again, hey, they're newbies. I get it. Folks, listen, I am not bothered at all by Christians that are new converts that get thrown for a loop the first few times. I mean, you know, most people that get saved kind of think, oh, good, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I have Jesus. I'll have no more problems. And then all of a sudden a storm comes and they really wrestle with that. Wait a minute, I'm saved now. I thought life was going to be perfect. I thought all my problem was over. Folks, the storms are still going to come, but now you got Jesus in the boat with you. That's the difference. And you know what? He's only going to let it go on so long, and then he'll stand up and say, peace be still, and the storm will. But you know what? He's going to put you in there because, now, please listen to me. All you can do is judge yourself. All I can do is judge myself. But I mean this. I feel like I need to stand up and defend God from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because we have too many people that have weak faith in this area of your reaction to the storms of life. Oh my goodness sakes, look at what we're going through. Nobody has it as rough as us. Nobody said, oh, baloney. Baloney. Oh, but we're, oh, baloney. Come on. Good night. Do you realize that the storms of life is either there to reveal how weak your faith is or give you an opportunity to grow up in your faith? And I'm going to tell you the difference between a brand new Christian, new convert. I get it. I don't have any problem with that. But man, if you're saved 10, 15, 20 years, you're still sucking your thumb and blaming God every time you go through something. Grow up! Listen, that's not fair to God. It's not fair to God. Good night. Come on now. Come on. I'll say this. Believe it, don't believe it. I go through storms, as many storms as y'all go through. Matter of fact, I would suspect I go through more than most because of the calling on my life. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. Things start happening. A storm starts coming. Trials and tribulations. I don't necessarily like that, the circumstance of it. But there's something inside of me that gets excited. Okay, there's something inside of me that gets excited. You may understand it, may not understand that, but you know what? I've learned this. Buddy, if there's a storm, then you know what comes after that storm? A rainbow. A promise. Listen, God is prepping me for the next level. God is prepping me for something more than I'm able to do now. God is building something inside of me that's going to make me stronger so that I can handle the next thing he has for me. That's the entire difference. I hope you get this. All right, you go through a storm. Here's somebody. Two people going through the same thing. Somebody sitting over there, God's just mean and he's nasty and he don't love me and nobody else loves me and poor me and poor me. And here's another person sitting there saying, God, you know what? I need your help right now. Lord, I want to pass this test. I want to prove my faithfulness to you. I want you to know I'm not just serving you when it's good. I'll serve you no matter what. Lord, teach. You're going to teach me something through this, and you're getting me ready for something, and it doesn't mean you like it, but you like what it's going to produce in your life. Now, that's the difference between strong faith and little faith. Now, watch this, folks. I believe God. Now, come on here. I believe God is bigger than any storm. I believe God is with me in the midst of the storm. I believe God is going to build my faith because of the storm. I believe God, when the time is right, is going to command the winds and waves with his mighty, omniscient voice. And you know what? I have in this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, had the privilege of pastoring people that I saw react to storms with great faith. Great faith. And you know what? Those are the times that's the most humbling for a preacher. You know, because you worry about your people. And man, something hits them. I mean, hits them like a Mack truck. And I pray for them. I say, oh God, please, Lord. I know the devil's going to try to work it for bad in their life, but God, I know you're working it for good. Help them to react properly. And to watch people, listen, folks, I was up there at Indianapolis. I walked in that room after the helicopter landed. I watched Jeff and Jenny say goodbye to their baby. You know what? They didn't walk out of church. They didn't quit the bus ministry. They didn't walk around the rest of the world saying, you don't think that's hard? How do you survive that? Come on, if you've never been through it, have you ever sat there as a parent and say, how do you live through that? I'll tell you how you live through it. You believe God. You trust God. And I could start, honestly, I could start here at the front, go around it. And you know what is the biggest encouragement in my life is watching people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church through the years go through some of the most horrific storms. And man, I'm just humbled. I just look at them and think, how do they do that? Because I kind of put myself in their situation. And I don't know if I do that good. You say, preacher, I don't know if I have the grace to do that. Well, you don't have it because you don't need it. But if you needed it, it's available. So let me help you with that. I mean this. Man, it is time for us. If you've been saved, you say, Stan, well, I want to give my testimony. I was saved, you know, I've been saved for 15 years. Well, does your faith reflect it? I've been saved for 20. Does your faith reflect it? And so settle some things in your life. Settle some things. There are other stories in this auditorium. Some of them, honestly, too personal to share. But I've watched families go through storms that had the potential to cause them to lose their faith, and yet the next Sunday they walked in the door, walked to their assigned area of service, stood up, sang out, wept some tears, but refused to lose their faith in God. And you know what? When I watch that and see that, I say to myself, God, help me to be that Christian. And yet, look right up here. There are dozens and dozens of people all over this area sitting at home still sucking their thumb because they had to go through one thing and they're mad at God. That's ridiculous. Boy, it sure didn't take much for the devil to take them down. And let me say this, shame on them. I mean it, shame on them. Because Jesus ought to mean more than that to you. He ought to mean more than that. Good admonition, good preaching, preacher. Andy Magnarella. I just had to say that, all right? God's working in somebody's heart right now. See, what's that about? Never mind. Let me take you to the last portion of Scripture, amen. Matthew 14. Because I like to have fun. Verse 25, here we go. What have I got? 2 minutes? No problem. I can get it done in 12. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 25. Here we go again. Remember, yeah, as a preacher, these guys are kind of a mess. Yeah, probably the first 3 years you were saved, you're kind of a mess too. And we had to go through something. We had to learn some things. Thank God they grew. And so now, in Matthew 14, we see another storm come. Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. When he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. What a thing to see. Wow. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Kind of a new convert's reaction. Yeah, I got that. Probably you're in my reaction if we'd been in that boat. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, I'm pretty proud of Peter right here. I mean, this is a guy who hadn't been saved all that long. And you know what first thing comes in his mind? Man, I wonder if Jesus let me go join him. You know, watch, can I say this, folks? I have watched new converts struggle in their faith sometimes, but can't you say this? I've also watched some of the greatest acts of faith by somebody that really hadn't been saved all that long. Man, that's exciting to watch. And that's kind of what Peter was doing here. I think he wasn't behind the learning curve. He was ahead of the learning curve. Come, and he said, come, Jesus said in verse 29. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm over here, and Jesus is better at evaluating people than I am. But I'm watching him get out of that boat. I'm not thinking, oh, ye of little faith. I think I'm gripping the sides a little stronger, just hoping that me holding on tighter might not make him sink, okay? But he did exhibit diminished faith in that he took his eyes off Jesus. Now watch this. Let me give you the third and last point. Strong faith is needed in picking your priorities. Strong faith is needed during life's many storms. Strong faith is needed during courageous undertakings. And I'm going to close with this, and we won't take long. But you know what, folks? Watch this. Peter needed strong faith to get out of that boat. But he also needed strong faith to keep his eyes on Jesus once he got out of the boat. Now, he exhibited the strength of faith to step out, but then he began to falter afterwards. And folks, watch this. A lot of times we can conjure up the faith to begin a courageous undertaking, but we do not sustain the faith to finish that undertaking. Okay? I've introduced several new things in the 9 years now that I've pastored, and I've watched Dad, of course, the 11 years before that, introduce new things. Let me tell you what is the typical thing. Something new, a new ministry, a new opportunity, whatever. What you tend to see in the congregation is an initial reaction of excitement, an initial reaction of faith. But you know what, folks? Most things that you take on in life takes faith that is sustaining faith, not just shallow, exciting faith, okay? I mean, the bus ministry was started in 1973. Guess what? Whatever newness of that ministry has worn off a long time ago, and yet there's still people that are sustaining that ministry because their faith is not something. Now, young people, you better get this in your heart. You'll spend the rest of your life, something new happens, you get all excited, you get involved, and you find out it's just work. So you do it for 6 months, and then preacher starts something else. Well, I think God's leading us to that. And you just spend the rest of your life running around chasing the newest thing. You know what you ought to do? Just find a ministry that fits your spiritual gifts and just get in there and latch on and say, I'm into this for life. You know, we have had a wonderful, wonderful, and young people, you're growing up in a church, you've got a wonderful example, wonderful opportunity to look at older folks that have spent their lives teaching Sunday school, that have spent their lives going soul winning, that they don't measure the time in bus ministry in months, they measure it in decades. Are you getting this? And what I'm saying is, you know what, I know what, not everybody's all supposed to be in one ministry, and we've got to be careful that if we're not in this ministry, we start condemning everybody else that's not. But I'm saying this, you know what? There's some place that God wants you to serve at Blessed Old Baptist Church. And you know what? Long after the newness is worn off, sometimes it takes faith. Yeah, it takes faith. Peter, I'll give you that. It took faith to initially step out and begin a courageous undertaking, but it takes sustaining faith to finish that courageous undertaking. And I can't help but have my heart apply this to what we're about to get into here at Blessed Old Baptist Church, an undertaking of planting a church. Folks, listen to me. It can be real exciting for the first few months, and then you know what you're going to figure out? It's just a lot of sacrifice and work. And you know what? Brother Clanny, by the way, all the newness have worn off. You know what it is now? It's just rolling up your sleeves and working and staying with it and praying and seeking God's face. Now, come on. All right? Sustaining faith, strong faith. Strong faith is needed not only to take on courageous undertakings, but see them to their conclusion. And so keep your eyes on Jesus. How do you do that, preacher? You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. How does somebody teach the Sunday school for 20 years? They kept their eyes on Jesus, okay? How does somebody stay in the bus ministry for 20 years? They kept their eyes on Jesus. How does a preacher stay in the ministry for 40, 50 years? Kept his eyes on Jesus. What's the difference between that guy and the one that started out that way, but now, you know what, they're selling insurance or selling cars or doing something else. Kept their eyes on Jesus, all right? And so let's learn from these things. Let's have our faith strengthened. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight, been reminded of. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as you reveal through the things that you have us go through in life, as you reveal to us the level of maturity of our faith, I pray, dear God, that we would always pray, dear God, please increase my faith, increase my faith. And Lord, we want to be mature Christians. We want to be Christians of strong faith, dear God. And I pray, Lord, every single person here is growing at a different rate. They're in a different place. And Lord, I pray that we would show grace and mercy and love one to another. I pray especially with our new converts, Lord, that you would help us to show a measure and a good level of understanding and grace, dear God. But Lord, those of us that have been saved, again, we're talking about decades. Lord, I pray, God, that our faith would reflect that, that you'd help us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit's help, something that's been touched on. Preacher, I'm still weak there. I shouldn't be still weak there. God, help me to grow there. I pray, Lord, we'd come to where we could get some help tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.